I just thank God for you. And today we're going to be talking about the sons of God. The sons of God. And when we say the sons of God, we mean the daughters of God as well. Amen. The sons of God. And you know what? Our daddy is a perfect daddy. Amen. He'll love us and he'll never stop loving us. Now, let me ask you a question. Are we more compassionate or tenderhearted or loving, more loving than our Heavenly Father? In our best effort, our best day. No. Now, guess what? I have three children, right? Now, sometimes when we raise them, in fact, my oldest son, when he came for my wife's birthday, he was basically 10. Dad, you done got soft. I said, what do you mean? He said, you let Curtis, your grandson, get away with stuff you never would have let us get away. I said, well, I had to raise you guys. Now, I just love on him and send him home. But but like I said, I'm not gonna let him get away with murder. But the thing was, he was just saying that in our best effort, our kids sometimes did things that disappointed us, didn't they? They didn't obey us, amen. But guess what? Did we ever say, well, okay, well, since you didn't obey me, you're no longer my son. Get out the house. And instead of going to kindergarten tomorrow, you just go apply an unemployment office, apply for a job. Did we ever do our kids like that? No, no. So guess what? Thank God we had wisdom and compassion for our kids. And then we disciplined them and we taught them in the ways of the Lord. And when they made mistakes, guess what? We didn't snuff them out or say, you're out of this house. You're no longer my son or my daughter. And I remember when we were, I was learning how to ride my bicycle. And I wanted to ride my bicycle so good that I would never fall off when I ride it. And I had it my bicycle and gave it, guess what? I would get up on the bicycle and I would have my dad to push me. And long as he was holding on to it, I was good. But then when he put his hand off and everything, it would wobble, and then I'd fall down. But guess what? That already happened about two or three times. After about that third or fourth time, I went on by myself. I never needed my dad to hold the bike up again. Amen. But if my dad had to say, well, son, you fell on that bike, you'll never make it. Put it in the garage. Put it up. You'll never make it. You know, he didn't do that. He encouraged me. Amen. He encouraged me. So we get encouraged by our Heavenly Father on a daily basis. And today I want to encourage you to let you know you're the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Now, guess what? You may not feel like it. You might not say, well, I don't feel like I'm a daughter of God. But guess what? Feelings have nothing to do with it. Feelings have nothing to do with it. God's word has everything to do with it. Let's go to Romans, Dave chapter. I want to talk about what our carnal feelings will do for us. You know, in Hosea, God says, prophet Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge about how much our daddy loves us. Amen. So we think that just because we did something that we shouldn't have do and everything, now that God no longer loves us. But guess what? God loves us and he gives us grace, not as a license to sin, but he gives us his grace so that we can be restored back in the family. And can I be honest? I made some mistakes yesterday, and I'm a pastor. But guess what? The blood of Jesus covers those mistakes. But when I make a mistake, guess what happens? I'm quick to repent. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. He's that still, small voice. A lot of people, they say it's your conscience or something. Something told me. No, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you in a still, small voice, and they'll say, no, you need to get that corrected. You talk to Sister Beverly ugly, and you just need to be ashamed of yourself. Go and apologize to her. And I don't want to. Okay, Lord. Beverly, would you forgive me? I shouldn't have said that ugly about you. I don't know what came over me. It was the devil, but please forgive me. So I'm quick to repent, amen? So, you know, and guess what? If you go to the book of 1 John, I think 1 John 1:9. That scripture was written for believers. It wasn't written for sinners. Sinners aren't guilty of anything except that they haven't given their life to Jesus Christ. They're sinners by nature. They're going to do. Sinners do what sinners do. They sin. It's their nature. They belong to their daddy. Their daddy is the father of lies. And so they're going to sin, okay? They practice what they do. They're sinners. We're not sinners. We're sons and daughters of God. Now, will we make mistakes? Yes, we'll make mistakes. But guess what? We can go to 1 John 1 and 9. Let's backtrack. Let's go to 1 John 1 and 9. I know most of you can quote it, but I want you to see it with your eyes. See with your eyes. Guess what? The devil is a liar. The truth's not in him. He'll say, okay, we shouldn't do stuff that we know we shouldn't be doing. But guess what? The devil wants to condemn us and beat us up and say, well, God can't use you. You had an ugly thought in your mind. And even though I may not have spoken to Sister Beverly, just because the thought came in my mind, the devil wants me to think that God can't use me because I had an ugly thought in my mind. Guess what? The fiery darts of the enemy, they come to all of us. But we don't have to let them grow and plant them and let them grow and seed and water them, pat them on the back, and then let them grow to fruition until they become a monster. But Jesus said it this way. He said, it's not what goes in a man that causes him to sin, but what comes out of man. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart, it'll come out. Somebody come up and cuss you out or something. Guess what? And they say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Guess what? You meant it. It was in your heart. But guess what? I'm a child of God. So even though you did cuss me out, guess what? I ain't going to let that stop me from loving you. Praise God. I'm going to love you with the love of Jesus, with the unconditional love, even though you did that. Guess what? Because I'm too busy believing God for a lot of things in my life. And guess what? I'm not going to let anybody make me walk in unforgiveness toward you. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to forgive you. Guess why? Because that's what Jesus said to do. He says, pray for those who despitefully use you. You know why? Because the words that we speak, they're powerful. They're powerful. But I don't want anything to block my prayers from heaven. And when I walk in unforgiveness towards somebody that wronged me and they shouldn't have did it, guess what? God has to take his hands off me because my fellowship is broken. But guess what? I refuse to let anybody hold me in unforgiveness. And I'm not going to let anybody else. I'm going to forgive everybody. John, I forgive you, brother. You know, he didn't do nothing. Josh would never do it. But I'm just saying, I forgive you, brother. Guess what? Because guess what? Because God loves you, man. You're awesome. Praise God. And guess what? This brother, now I met a Josh at the mall yesterday. So I'm going to say, I'm talking to the Josh that I met at the mall. Now he told me he wasn't a Christian. He told me he wasn't a Christian, but guess what? So that brother may have done something, and guess what? And he didn't know it. He didn't know it. He just did for the sinners, too. That's his nature. So why should I expect him to love me with the love of God? And he don't even know God. He don't know God from a goose, amen? So quit expecting people to do, give you stuff that they don't have. It's not on the inside of them. It's impossible for them to give you what they don't have, amen? But what you do, you love them. You love on them. They were created in the image of God. And God, Jesus died for them. Whether they accept him or not, Jesus died for them. So you love them with the love of God. How are you going to be with your religious self going up them and condemning them and everything and judging them? And you don't even know what they went through. You don't even know how the enemy has this hook in them so much that they can't even see Jesus for who he is. So all we got to do is love on Josh. When we love on Josh, he's going to want to see Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Now, I went to the mall yesterday. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. We're sons and daughters of God. Pastor Abraham, he called me up and said, brother, let's go to the mall. Let's pray for the sick. So I said, okay, praise God. And so we did. And I'm going to tell you about it. But see, you got to know you're the sons and daughters of God. You got to know you're the sons and daughters of God. You know what? If you were born again yesterday, a week ago, guess what? You got the same power that D did, that Bishop D got, and he's been in the church for 30 years. God's going to honor you as his son, just like he honored Bishop D. Amen? Praise God. But see, a lot of times we've been bamboozled by the church tradition and culture that we can't do it. The anointing has to be on certain people. Guess what? We're all anointed. We're all anointed. You got to realize that you're anointed. When you know who you are, you know your identity. Hey, when you know your identity, when you know who you are in Christ, then you'll go out and do exploits in His name. Amen. Because guess what? It's not you. It's not you. It's Jesus doing it. Amen. You know, Jesus said, He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I do. Amen. You call me Lord, Lord. You give me lip service. But I tell you to go pray for the sick. I told you to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I told you to go into prison, visit those. I told you to invite people to dinner that can't even repay you back. Not just the rich folks, so they can invite you to their house and y'all eat what is that stuff? The eggs, they call it, caviar. But anyway, so that's how the world does it. Even Christians, they do it. They tit for tat. I'm gonna help you, and then you're gonna help me. Praise God. But we're supposed to give to people without not even expecting anything in return. See, that's what Jesus would have did. Amen. And Jesus says, we're the sons and daughters of God, and He wants us to do the same thing. Amen. Praise God. But see, you gotta know that you're anointed. You are anointed. Daughter, you are anointed. Give me your hand. Say, my hands are anointed. Praise God. Praise God. And they are. They are. Your hands are anointed. Praise God. Daughter. Say, my hands are anointed. Amen. Praise God. I have holy hands. My hands are anointed. Praise God. Praise God. Son, say, my hands are anointed.
My hands are anointed.
Praise God. Amen. Daughter, say this.
My hands are anointed.
Praise God. Praise God. See, every one of our hands are anointed, amen. Right? Why? Because Jesus lives on the inside of us, amen. He lives on the inside of us, praise God. You know where He lives? Right there. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's on the inside of you. He said, I'll never leave us or forsake us. Jesus says, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and began His earthly ministry, and He's here on earth right now. Working through God's sons and daughters. Amen. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Praise God. And praise God. The greater one lives in me. Praise God. I have the anointing. Praise God. I have the anointing. Jesus said it. I'll do greater things than He did. Amen. You know what? Jesus didn't have this microphone. Jesus couldn't go on the airwaves like we can. No, my twin sisters listen to the gospel right now. My daddy's listening to the gospel in Columbus, Georgia. Guess what? Jesus didn't have the TBN and all that other airways and all the gospel over the airways. He could speak to a certain number of people. But we'll do greater things than He did. Amen? We'll do greater things than He did. Praise God. Praise God. The greatest miracle, you know what the greatest miracle? When a soul comes to Jesus Christ. And guess what? We'll be able to win them to the Lord. Amen? By love and kindness. Will we draw them? Amen? Not by religiosity. Not by walking around with a 10-pound cross around our neck so everybody know who we are. But praise God, by the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart. Every one of us have been anointed by God. Amen. He did. In fact, I'm going to prove it to you. Let's go. You know what? Like I said, I have some scriptures, but praise God, I'm following the Holy Spirit right now. Amen. Go to John. Go to John 17. Go to John 17. We're going to get back if we can, but like I say, this is not my service. This is the Lord's service. Amen. I'm going to obey my daddy. Amen. Amen. As it comes fresh down from heaven, I'm going to give it to you. Amen. I received what I've received of the Lord. I give it unto you. Amen. Praise God. Now, John 17, chapter of John. I want to share something with you. Well, first of all, let's all these scriptures just rolling through my head. I'm going to tell you, let's go to John 17. And we're going to go to John 15 after that, okay, Dave? John 15. John 17. Now, this is Jesus, the head of the church, and He's praying for the church. We are the church, amen? Not the brick building, not the mortar. We are the church. Say, I am the church. I am the body of Christ. Jesus don't have a plan B. They say this, Jesus don't have a plan B. He has a plan A. His plan A is for His church to go out into the world, into the marketplace, into the workplace, and let them know that I am alive, that I love them with an everlasting love. Praise God. My mercy and compassion that is shown through his children, the church. Amen. We are the church. We are the church. We are the church. We are the church. Not the brick and mortar. We are the church. We are the church, Josh. We are the church. We are the church. We are the church. When we show up, Jesus shows up. Amen. Guess what? This is corporate in order, and this is so powerful right now, and I can sense the presence, manifest the presence of God right now. And guess what? It got even greater. You know why? The two more members of the church just showed up. Amen. That's that corporate anointing. Amen. Intensified anointing. Amen. Praise God. I ain't good at mathematics, but I know it's quantum. What does it mean, quantum? Quantum fix it. And I mean, you can't even explain it in your own mind. It'll just blow your own mind up to try to explain. But praise God. Just take one. One can put 1,000. Praise God. Two can put what? 10,000. Praise God. I don't understand it in my mind, that mathematics, that quantum physics. But guess what? It happens. Amen. In the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. The power that's in them, when they came in right now, the power got intensified. Amen. Because we're in the kingdom of God. All of us, is not one word of God void of power. Amen. We are the sons and daughters of God. Amen. God wants to use us. Amen. He wants to use every one of us. Amen. He wants to use every one of us. John 17 chapter. This is Jesus praying for the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. So he prayed for the church. He prayed for the church in John 17. Now, go ahead and we're going to go ahead and read that. And D has the words up. Now, it says right here. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may also be glorified. So Jesus is saying, look, I'm getting ready to go back to you, Dad. But guess what? I want you to glorify these that are left behind. I want to glorify them with the same glory that I had with you, Father. So guess what? Jesus said, I'm not coming back until the whole world be filled with my glory. Guess what? We live in a parallel world. We live in a parallel world. I'm right here on planet Earth. I'm right here on planet Earth in Jacksonville. But guess what? Positionally, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Praise God. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any disease in heaven? Is there any lack in heaven? Praise God. So guess what? That same as a son and daughter of God, that same power that is in heaven, the same atmosphere is in heaven, I can command that atmosphere to come down on earth. Amen. Praise God. Positionally, every one of us as a sons and daughters of God, we have that same power. We have that same glory. I'm talking about operating in the glory realm, amen, where miracles are happening, are possible, where things that you can't even imagine, which that will blow your teeny little mind, your carnal mind, that you can't even imagine what happened. They happen, amen. They happen right now because we partner with God as sons and daughters of God. When we know who we are, we know our identity, guess what? The power of God is instantaneously available to us, amen. It's not us, but it's God operating through us, amen. Praise God. So guess what happened? I live in a parallel universe. Guess what? Guess what? I'm here right now with Jesus sitting in heavenly places. Amen. I'm sitting with him. That's the position. That's where I am right now. So praise God. When I pray, all heaven takes notice. Amen. God has given all of us ministering angels. Ministering angels. Every one of us has at least one ministering angel. And guess what? We have warring angels that come when we need our assistance. We don't even see them. But guess what? They do our bidding as we speak the word of God. As we speak the word of God, the power of God is manifested through us when we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So every one of us are sons and daughters of God. Amen. Sons and daughters of God. Amen. You got to know that. You got to know that. You got to know that you know that you know that you know. Now, how do I know that? Because Jesus told me. Jesus told me. I believe what Jesus said. This is in red writing. Now let's keep going. Now what I want to do, and then he says, now I and thou has given him power over all flesh that he may should give eternal life to as many as has been given him. So we're talking about Jesus is praying to the Father. He's praying for the church. We are the church, and he says, I manifest thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of this world, and thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now, let's move on. Let's move on right now. Let's move on. Let's move right now. Let's go to 15 verse D. And thank God for D keeping up the word. Amen. I mean, when I first got saved, we had to carry a 10-pound Bible with us and everything. But thank God for technology. Now I still got my Bible. I'm old school. I ain't gonna give up just because I got a smartphone. I ain't giving up my Bible now. But anyway, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from the evil. Now he's talking about us, his church. Now guess what? You know what the church does? You know what the church does? They will love you with the love of God. You in sin, and they love you. They love you in the kingdom. And as soon as you get in the kingdom, guess what? They're gonna judge you, and they're gonna say, "Well, you something wrong with yourself? You ain't following Jesus like I'm following." Wait a minute. Give them a chance to grow up. Give them a chance to grow up. So guess what? In the real church, the only way they can guarantee that you're gonna be saved, they gotta introduce you to Jesus. The minute you get saved, guess what? They shoot you, kill you, take you out of the world. They shoot the own. The church shoots the own too. They do. And then they're going to guarantee that you're going to be with the Father. But guess what? No. You got to love them. You got to love them. They got to learn. They got to grow up. They got to be nurtured. That's what the church does. Amen. The church judges the own. They judge you. You ain't like the Bishop D. So you ain't got it. Yeah. So praise God. But really, really, church, you know who won people the most? Religious folk. Religious folk. Truth be told, people that hurt me the most have been religious folk. Church folk. They'll use you up, spit you out, and act like they never knew you. Sinners do what sinners do. If it comes from a sinner, okay, that's you doing your job. But sinners have been more kind to me than church folks. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Can I speak real today? Amen. So I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. So Jesus say, look, I didn't just because you got saved because Josh introduced you to Jesus and you accepted Jesus your Lord and Savior and you now become a son of God. Guess what? He's not going to shoot his new disciple. No, he's going to disciple. Praise God. So God said, Jesus said, look, I didn't take them. I'm not praying that they be whisked up to heaven just because they got saved. But I pray that they stay here and that but you keep them from evil. You keep them from evil. Keep going. Keep going. Next verse. They are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. And keep going. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. So wash me, Lord. Wash me. Your word is cleansing me. Amen. Through the washing of the water, the word we're made pure. Amen. So the word will keep us pure. Amen. So Jesus prayed for the church. We are the church. Keep going. And thou hast sent me into the world. Even I also send them into the world. What was Jesus' mission? Jesus' mission. Go to Acts 10 and 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Guess what? There's a lot of folks in this planet earth who are oppressed of a devil. So Jesus knew his mission. He knew his identity. He knew what his purpose was to be here on planet earth. So guess what? We're the sons and daughters of God. That's our mission too. Amen. We should be going about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Amen. Luke 4:18, when Jesus preached his first sermon, and the book was given up to him, the book of Isaiah, he said, Lord, what did he say? He said, I'm anointed. He said, I'm anointed. Let's go with it. Let's go to Luke 4:18. Luke, I'm jumping all around, but I think Luke 4:18. This is what Jesus, when he preached his sermon, first sermon. And reason they wanted to stone him, because he basically was saying, I am God. I am the Son of God. They knew what he was saying. And they wanted to stone him. They said, you're speaking blasphemy. But he said, the Spirit of God, this is what Jesus said. The Spirit of God is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them out of bruise. Now this time we're going to say it again, church. We're going to say it again. But this time I want you to let's make it personal to us. Now this time I'm going to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Praise God. Now that's our assignment as daughters and the sons of God. Amen. That's our assignment. The same assignment that Jesus had, we have. Amen. And that's why Jesus prayed for us. Amen. That we'd be able to keep our assignment. Amen. And we wouldn't fail. Amen. So let's go back to John 17. This is the head of the church praying for us. Amen. Not that we go to heaven, instantaneously be whisked up to heaven. Amen. Go to, like Enoch was, praise God. And who was that one? And Enoch. They were so in tune with what God wanted. God didn't even allow them to die. He just took them ahead of time. Praise God. But can you imagine that this, nobody would get saved if he did that, because angels couldn't preach to the world. It's God's plan that we, his church, preach to the world. Praise God. So guess what? That's why he kept us here, amen? He kept us here for a purpose. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. So Jesus is sending us to the world, his church. Keep going. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The word of God is true. And it sanctifies, it keeps us pure. It washes us. You know what? I thank God for soap and water. Amen. Praise God. When I was in basic training, we had a brother in basic training, and we had open bays and stuff, and we were common areas and everything. I mean, it didn't, with no doors or something. We were, one guy was at the, we had bunk beds. One guy was at the foot, one guy's at the head, wall to wall soldiers. And guess what? We needed the bathe, okay? We had a brother, I don't know where he came from, but he thought that some water wouldn't good. So guess what? We had a GI party. We put a pillowcase on that brother's head, tied him up, threw him in the shower. We got a scrub brush that you clean the toilet with. And we scrubbed that brother with some soap. Threw him in the shower. Guess what? From then on, not many days hence, he remembered to take his shower. But soap and water is good. Guess what? The word is good, amen. It keeps me clean, amen. It washes me. So every now and then I get contaminated in the world and I get a little dirt. I need the word to cleanse me, amen, to wash me, amen. So the word, the word of God's truth sanctifies it, amen. Let's keep going. Neither pray I for these alone, but I also for them which also shall believe on me through their word. Now he's talking about the church. He think we're going to be crazy enough just to believe on his word and go share it with somebody else. I get saved, and guess what? I'm going to tell Josh about this Jesus I found out about. And you know what I did that when I got saved? I cornered everybody in the corner. I loved them with the love of God. It's been shared abroad in my heart. I had knowledge, but not according to zeal. I had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Amen. But God showed me a more excellent way. Amen. Pray that the Holy Spirit would prepare the hearts and lead me to somebody that day that would be receptive to it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Because, you know, like I said, if they got saved because they were scared of me, guess what? When I left, they probably go back to the devil. Amen. All right. Now, so this is what Jesus said His plan B, God's plan B, was for his church to go out in the world and tell them who he was and set the captives free. Amen. And we're going to go to John 15. Let's go to John 15. Move a couple of chapters up. Yeah, John 15. John 15. And let's start with the start with the first verse. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now, I got an orange tree out in the backyard, and a tangerine tree, and it bears pretty good today. But you know what? The reason it bears so good this year, I cut it back. I pruned it. Now, if I didn't prune it, guess what would happen? It would have had a whole lot of leaves. It had been so high that I couldn't even reach the top of it. But guess what? The nutrients and everything would have been swallowed up in those leaves and stuff. It wouldn't have had no fruit on it. So guess what? We got to be pruned. We got to be purged. So that's what our daddy does. Our daddy takes us as we are. But God, I'm not worthy. God, I haven't been to Bible school. God, I haven't been ordained a deacon. I haven't been ordained a deaconess. God said, come on now. All you need is me. Obey my word. Obey my word. Just do what I say. Go out and love on somebody. And guess what? I'm going to purge you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you that you might bear much fruit. Amen? So we're sons, and say again, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And guess what? God is depending on me. And guess what? Daddy, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to obey you. I'm not just going to give you lip service and say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my hand. No, no. I'm going to go out and do your work. Amen. I'm going to do your work. Amen. Then go to the second verse, the third verse, next verse D. You are clean through the word that I have spoken. Here again, we're saying it's the word that keeps us clean. Amen. Keep going. Abide in me and I in you, for the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. So who is our source? Who is our power source? God is our power source. There was an evangelist powerful evangelist that went around in the, I guess about a turn of the century, and he preached. He had powerful miracles in his service. But he had a Catholic preacher, I believe, by the name of Father Moody. I think that was his name. But everywhere before the evangelist would go, he would go a week ahead, and he would pray for the meeting. So marvelous miracles happened in that evangelist's life, but he would pray for the meeting. There was a church that one time somebody came to visit the pastor's church and say, wow, your church is just awesome. Power of God is resident in this church. What is the secret to your power? And so I guess the reporter thought that he was going to take them into the generator room and show all the generator and the lights and everything like that. But you know what? He didn't take them to the generator room. You know where he took them? He took them to the basement. And while the service was going on, guess what? They had the prayer team praying for the service. He said, that's the power source right there. That's the power source. Our God is able to use us in this church. So Jesus is the power source. Amen. Praise God. But we've got to abide in him. Amen. Keep going. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And to put it in a vernacular that people can understand, Uncle Reese, what say that another way.
How people?
Without me, you can do nothing.
Oh, without Jesus, I suck.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So that's what he's saying. He's saying the same thing. This is scripture verse 4. Without Jesus, I can do nothing.
Everything I do is fails miserably. I'm doing it on my own power. I'm trying to conjure it something. And guess what? It ain't going to happen. It's not my power. It's the power of God. Amen. When I know I'm a son and daughter of God, guess what? Everything that I do in the name of Jesus, it has to obey me. Amen. Things under the earth, in the earth, and over the earth have to obey me. Amen. As a daughter and a son of God. Amen. The devil knows if you know your identity or not, but you got to speak with boldness. You got to know that you know that you know that you know. And when you know, everything has to be. It's almost as if it's like Jesus himself is speaking. You command the elements. Jesus knew. He knew who he was. When there was a storm, he spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." And the elements had to obey him. Had to obey him. When Jesus ministered to people, he knew who he was. He knew who he was. And those, and even the people that were possessed with evil spirits, he didn't even allow the evil spirits to say it. Shut up! Come out of him. So neither should we entertain evil spirits. I'm not going to spend 2 hours trying to cast an evil spirit out of somebody. Guess what? No. I'm going to say, get out of him. I'm not going to talk to him. Why? Why are you going to talk to the devil? He's the father of lies. He's going to tell you nothing but lies anyway. Shut up. I'm a child of the Most High God. I have the power of God living on the inside of me. And praise God. You have to obey. You have to obey. Come out. Praise God. So when we know who we are in Christ Jesus, we do things that Jesus said. Jesus, I can't do it any better than Jesus. Read the gospel. Find out how Jesus did. How did he minister to people? Then you do the same thing and replicate what he did. Praise God. We got all these things, these weird things that we do in the church. And a lot of folks come in sick, broke and disgusted, and leave out broke, sick, and disgusted. But guess God, do what Jesus did if you want Jesus' results. Amen. Praise God. Now, you know what? I'm excited. And it seems like the time's going too fast. Will y'all give me a little bit more time? Church, can I have a little bit more time? Daughter, can I have a little bit more time? Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. No. I love people. I love people, but it's like I'm about to explode right now. Really, really. I got so much inside, and I got to get it out. I got to have a release. Oh, praise God, praise God. Pastor Abraham, he said, Brother Maurice, he said, we got to go pray for the sick. Jesus did that. He went to a school of identity. And Pete Cabrera Jr., you can YouTube, look at his YouTube video. And this guy is unconventional. He's unconventional. Most church folks would have kicked him out, gave him the left foot of fellowship. But guess what? He's having the results that Jesus had. No, most church folks would gave him the left foot of fellowship. The left foot of fellowship. You know what I mean? Yeah. But guess what? He got the power of God is manifested through him, and he's telling everybody else that the power resides in you. And guess what? Everybody that goes through a school, the last day of the school, they go to a mall. And then they go minister healing to the people in the mall. And Pastor Abraham went to that, him and his wife went to that school. He came back. And he told me, he was so on fire. I could see the fire of God in his eyes when he was telling me about it. The zeal of God. Like, I could say, wow. It's almost like I'm looking in the eyes of Jesus. He was so on fire telling me about it. And guess what? I couldn't wait till Friday came. We were off on Friday. He's off on Friday. I'm off on Friday. I said, we're going to go to the mall. We're going to pray for somebody. So praise God. We went to the mall, and I'll be honest. I prayed for a couple of people, but just by the grace of God, maybe they got healed a little bit or a headache or whatever. But I ain't seen nothing like I seen Friday. We went up and prayed for people, and we commanded the sickness to leave. And the first person we prayed for, we asked them, we say, on a scale of 10 to 0, what is the pain that you're experiencing around it? What is the level? And they said that the level was about a 7, I believe. Anyway, make a long story short, pray for them.
that the level, that the plane would go completely, and pray for them. And then I said, okay, now be honest with me, be brutally honest with me, tell me the truth. I say, what is your level of pain now? And then back pain, first person to pray. And then he said, well, right now I'm experiencing a level of pain of about, maybe about a 4. And I said, okay, no problem. I said, but you know what? Jesus wants it to go to a 0. So I said, we're going to pray again. Prayed again. And then I said, okay, now what's your level of pain that you're experiencing right now? And he said, it's a 0. And it was nothing I did. I'm nobody special. I'm just a son of God that's foolish enough to believe what Jesus said, and I did it. And what Pastor Abraham was the one that told me, man, we need to go out and do it. And I told him, well, you know, I ain't went to that class like you do, that 5-day class. He's like, brother, you don't need that 5-day class. You a son of God. You a son of God. And I said, yeah, but you know, what about your notes? You got your notes, you know? Well, anyway, just at his invitation, I went, and I did what he told me to do, and the brother was healed by the power of God. And it's nothing that I did. You know what my carnal mind was saying? Well, what if he don't get here? Well, guess what? I had to turn my carnal mind off. It's enmity to God. That's why we're going to go to Romans 8 chapter, because the carnal mind is enmity to God. And it'll tell you that you can't do it. You're not good enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't fasted enough. Your carnal mind will tell you all that foolishness. But God's saying, get busy, do my work. So guess what? I went and did it like a child, had childlike faith, and I saw childlike results. And so what happened was, and I'll be honest with you, I prayed for somebody. We went to the Avenues Mall, and I prayed, Orange Park Mall. And I prayed for somebody, and one guy, I prayed for somebody, and I prayed for him. And I say, be honest with you, what level of pain are you experiencing? And he said, well, the pain's about the same. And I said, okay, well, praise God. I said, you know it's the will of God that you be healed. And he said, oh, yeah, I believe it. I believe it's God's will. Yeah, I believe in prayer. And I said, so the healing may manifest later, whatever. But you know what? A lot of times when you're stepping out of faith, God is testing you. He's testing you to see if you're really going to stand on his word. Now, when you go out doing stuff like that and you're worried about your own reputation, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. But I don't have a reputation. I'm a dead man. If I pray for somebody and don't get healed, guess what? It's not me doing the work anyway. It's Jesus. But Jesus told me to do it, I'm going to do it. Jesus told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And guess what? So guess what? It's not me. It's Jesus doing it. And we got to realize that. So anyway, had such a wonderful time in Orange Park Mall. Pastor Abraham called me yesterday. He said, brother, you gotta go and pray for the sick. So we went to the Avenues Mall. Went to the Avenues Mall, and there was a brother that I prayed for. And just like the day before, God took all the pain away. God took all the pain away and healed him. Now, there was a guy in a motorized wheelchair. Guy in a motorized wheelchair. And then to look at him, it looked like he had went through all kind of stuff. I mean, his body looked sickly. Everything that looked like could happen to him was on his brother. Anyway, I went over to the brother and I said, see what it was, when you go, you know what? There's people everywhere you go that are in pain, that are hurting, that are oppressed, that don't know the love of God. And it's plenty of opportunities. But you know what? You actually have to give them license to speak into their life. They have to give you opportunity. Because you can't bogart their will. You know, God will not violate another person's will. Neither can we. So we got to come up with a way where we can speak to them. And I found out that through Pastor Abraham and watching these tapes on YouTube with Pete Cabrera Jr., when you go minister to somebody, you don't even tell them necessarily that you're a Christian. And you know why? Because the person that you're talking to, you can see physically there's something wrong with them. You don't know if they're Muslim. You don't know if they're Jehovah's Witness. You don't know if they're Buddhist. You don't know if they're unbeliever. And when you say, I'm a Christian, and guess what? All of a sudden, the red flag is going to go up, and they're not going to hear anything you say. You just want to love them because they are created by God. Don't be judgmental. Some church believe that unless you're born again and you saved and belong to my church, God's not going to heal you. That's what the church believes. Praise God. But God will heal a sinner. God will heal a sinner. You know why? Because you know what? A sinner, when he sees the power of God manifested, not just in words and deeds, not just in words and flowery words, but in deed, the demonstration of the power of God, he's gonna want to know that God that you serve. Amen? He or she's going to want to know the God you serve. When you heal somebody, and then you say, well, brother, wow, isn't that awesome? Why do you think you got healed? What caused that healing? And they say, I don't know. You know, say, you know what? It's God. And he loves you. The God I serve is real. And he has power. He has power. The God I serve, he has power. So guess what? Then you have an open invitation to speak into their life. You have an open invitation to speak into their life because you manifested the power of the living God. And guess what? Even if they don't accept Jesus that day, guess what? You planted a seed. You planted a seed. The Bible says one person plants, one person waters, and God gives. And who gives the increase?
God gives the increase.
In fact, if you're going out to witness to people just so you can build your church, guess what? Ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't nothing going to happen. Guess what? Praise God. So guess what? So what happened is, if your heart and your motive is just to bless people and love on people, guess what? God's going to cause people to come to your church to be added to the church daily as such. But God's going to do the work. But if your heart is just, you just want to be set free and delivered, and guess what? If you set somebody free and they're a Christian and maybe they haven't been to church in a while, they'll say, brother, you got a card. And that's a liberty. Okay, well, here's my church card. And here's my card. Praise God. And if you can come if you want to, if you're not going to a church. But if they go into a church, we ain't stealing lost sheep, okay? You go back to your own house, amen? You go back to your own house of healing, amen? You go back to, I'm not stealing you from your pastor. I'm just here to set you free. A lot of church folks are in bondage, amen? They're wounded. They're hurt. All we do is we free them up and send them back to their daddy, send them back to their church, amen? When God sees that's our hearts today, this church will be overflowing. This church will be overflowing. You know why this church is going to grow? Because all of you are going to be doing what I did. When you see it happen and see the power of God flow through you, it's addictive. It's like a junkie on crack. You want more and more. You want more and more. Because we've been bamboozled. The church told us that we couldn't do it. The bishop had to do it. The apostle had to do it. Yeah, and I'm not saying anything against the fivefold ministry. We need the fivefold ministry, amen? But you are not saved to sit on a church pew and warm it. Keep it warm. Jesus said, I'm sending you forth that you might bear fruit. You might bear fruit. You're not going to bear fruit standing in the four walls. You got to do what Jesus did, amen? And guess what? You're going to be rejected. Lack of wisdom. I was so excited that first guy getting here. I walked to this one lady. She had a cane. And it was obviously she had something wrong with her leg. So I walked over to the sister. I said, you know, I'm a pastor. And I just love people. And I want to just pray for you because, you know, I believe that God will take that pain away that you're experiencing right now. She looked at me and said, I don't believe like you do. And then she walked away. So guess what? But then see, that was a lack of wisdom. You know what Pastor Abraham told me? Brother, you shouldn't have told her you were a Christian. Just tell her that, do you have any pain? And then say, can I pray for you? The pain. Now, everybody wants pain to be relieved if they have pain. And then guess what? What you do, you say, sister, what's your name? Judith? Judith, you're awesome, man. You're awesome. You're awesome. God loves you. God loves you. Now guess what? Have I offended her? I told her she's awesome. Guess what? She's going to say, yeah, I am awesome. You know? So guess what? Now I got a license to speak into her life. Judah, what level of pain are you having right there? You got pain anywhere in your body. yeah, well, you know, my leg is hurting. And, well, what level of pain is it? From a 0 to a 10, 10 being the highest, what level of pain is it? Well, it's about a 9. Okay, well, praise God. Wouldn't you think it'd be awesome if that plane left today and you would only, you have a zero level plane? Now, have I told all I'm a Christian? Have I told her that God don't love you because you ain't saved? No, have I told all any of that foolishness? But I said, no, I'm going to pray for you and the plane's going to go to zero. Wouldn't that be awesome? And she said, can I pray for you for that to happen? And, oh, okay. I said, this is going to blow your mind, Judah. This is going to blow your mind. And guess what? Pain, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. Go in Jesus' name and reduce to zero. Now, did I pray and say, oh, Father, who sitteth in heaven? And all it, no. I just spoke to the problem. And it had to obey. If whatever was in that, it could have been knee problems, ligaments, could have been a car accident. Whatever it is, Jesus is able to handle. The power of God is able to handle. All he wants me to do is speak to it as a son of God. And when I speak to it, now guess what? And that pain, now all of a sudden, God has healed her. She has zero pain. Did you think she want to talk to me now? Oh, yeah, she'll listen to anything I got to say now. Because God healed her. It's through the demonstration of the power of the gospel, not through enticing words, a man's wisdom. And that's why God wants every one of us. He wants every one of us to know who we are, manifest as sons and daughters of God. Amen. We are sons and daughters of God. From Orange Park, when I left, Cecilia told me she wanted me to go to Walmart. God was setting me up. Walmart. And she told me to get some razor blades and get some cards. Yeah. And in fact, we're going to be preaching, but thank God for our Sister Beverly, for your birthday. Praise God. Praise God. And Mars, this is from the church for your birthday. Praise God. But I've got the cards. But when I got into Walmart, I was being set up by God. Cecilia didn't know it, but she told me to go to Walmart. I went to Walmart, like my wife said, praise God, being an obedient husband, just wanted to bless her, you know, because she wanted some stuff from Walmart. She wanted some razor, and, you know, she wanted me to be clean. She said, I shaved it. But anyway, you know, I shaved, trimmed in my beard and everything, So I got some fresh blades, and I got some cards, birthday cards. Well, when I walked into Walmart, there's a lady that she knows, and we've been knowing for a long time, Anita Hammond. She was sitting on a bench. And because I got this beard and everything, and I had some sunglasses on, I was being fresh, you know. She almost didn't recognize me. But I went up there and said that, I said to her, hey, sister, it's mines and owns. Now, I got to tell you the story about that. What happened was, she was a school teacher, and what was the name of the school? SB Livingston, it's in the hood, right? So anyway, there's an elementary school now, and a boy, two of her students were arguing over a pencil. And he said, Miss Hammond, no, that's my pencil. My grandma gave me that pencil. And she said, and the boy said, no, it's my pencil. And he said, no, that's mines and owns. And she had to bite her lip to quit from laughing at the boy, but she didn't give that boy his pencil. His grandma gave it to him. So anyway, but she called Cecilia and said, yeah. They were fighting over a pencil. But the boy said, it's mines and owns. So she called Cecilia and said, she called her anime. She called it silly man. And she told about the boy fighting over the pencil and what the boy said, that's mines and owns. And so it's an inside joke. Nobody would know it except for them. So when I walked up to Anita, I said, and she didn't recognize. I had my sunglasses and I had this little goatee growing up. And then I said, that's mines and owns. And she looked at me like she didn't know who I was. But when I said mines and owns, she said, oh, then she recognized who I was. Because we used to go to her to church with her. Her husband is a pastor, one of the associate pastors at the church we used to go with. So anyway, she told me, she said, I had to go leave work early yesterday. Because
my back was hurting me. It was killing me. And I had to leave. I had to leave a half a day. My back is hurting me. I'm in pain right now. And man, my eyes lit up. And she said, I'm in pain. And I said, well, Sister Nita, if you could give me the level of pain that you experience right now, if 10 is the highest level and 0 is the lowest level, what level of pain are you experiencing right now? She said, about a 7. She said, I have to take all these drugs at night to go to sleep. And I guess narcotic drugs or whatever. And so, probably had narcotics, you know, that heavy stuff, muscle relaxing, all that stuff. Anyway, I say, well, can I pray for you? And I believe that God was going to make that pain level go to a 0. She said, sure, okay. So I pray for her. Now, I didn't do like Little Boy. Anybody watch the movie Little Boy? Little Boy was, and I didn't do all that because it wasn't my power. Amen. But I didn't even touch her. I did not even touch her back. She said she had back pain. And I could have did it. But a lot of times, you got to use wisdom. When you're with a woman, you don't put your hand all over a woman. God doesn't have to, you don't have to touch her foot. You just point to that area. Now, if you got a woman there, then you let the woman touch that proper body part, and then you may put your hand over the woman's hand. But you got to use wisdom. Amen? Amen. The devil isn't alive on planet Earth, so you got to use wisdom. Okay? Or you can let the woman put her hand on it and you put on that pot and you put your hand on the body. Don't put your hand on the private part of a woman. Amen. You got to use wisdom. Amen. You got to use wisdom. All right. Now, so anyway, I didn't even put my hands on it. I just pointed to her and said, pain, go in Jesus' name. And I waited a little while. What was I thinking about waiting? Nothing. Thinking I'm fool enough to believe God. That's all I'm thinking. And then I said, Anita, be truthful with me. What is your level of pain right now? She said, well, Brother Mo, you call me Brother Mo all the time. Well, she called me Deacon Mo. Yeah, Deacon Mo, Brother Mo. So I said, she can call me anything. Just don't call me late for dinner. Amen. but anyway, so what happened was, she said, well, really, right now, I believe it's about a level 2. And I said, well, praise God. But you know what? I believe Jesus wants to go down to 0. So let's pray again. You know what Jesus prayed? Jesus prayed, and I'm not doing anything better than, I'm following Jesus' example. When Jesus prayed, sometimes he prayed for people. He prayed for a man, blinded eyes, and he said, do you see? And the man said, I see men as trees. So Jesus said, okay, well, let me pray again. And he got his healing. So I'm not going to prove on what Jesus did. Amen. If he don't get 100 results right then it's not my power anyway. I'm gonna do what Jesus did. I'm gonna pray again. And then so I prayed for her again. And then I say, Anita, what is your level of pain right now? She say, it's a 0. So you know what she did? I said, well, do what you couldn't do. She was sitting on the bench. She got up, she bent down, she did all of that. And she said, I couldn't do that before. I couldn't do that before. And guess what? And then she said, I have no pain right now. And I said, praise God. So I said, I'm going to buy some stuff that Cecilia told me, but call Cecilia, tell her what God did for you. But anyway, her daughter had finished shopping. She was shopping with her daughter. Her daughter called out the car, so she wasn't able to talk to Cecilia. But I told Cecilia what would happen. But it was a setup. It was a setup. If God didn't know I had a willing heart, and I say, God, it's my heart desire that I be a blessing to people. That I want, I be the, I'm a carrier of your glory. I'm a carrier of your glory. You just want me to be foolish enough to believe you. And when I do that, then you're going to use me. But see, it'll be a test. If you're trying to protect your own reputation, nothing's going to happen. But guess what? I'm a dead man. I died. You can't hurt a dead man. You can't. Guess what? Jesus said, if they rejected me, they're going to reject you. Guess what? That woman that said she didn't want me to pray for her because I didn't use wisdom. And then I let her know that I was a Christian. But truth be told, Christians, we done hurt some people, even sinners. We done judged them and looked down at them and walked past them like this. And they sick and they hurting them. Go past them because we on our way to church. We ain't got time to stop for them. Amen. But the good Samaritan, he stopped for the sick guy, amen, that was beat up by robbers and stole, and put him in the inn, gave him, he said, if there's anything left when I come, I will repay it. But Christian folks, no, we ain't got no compassion. We're on our way to church. We got to go get our shot on, praise God, in the four walls of the church. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So all I'm saying, church, all I'm saying, we in Made Whole Ministry, we are the church, and we're going to be the church, amen? We're going to be the church, amen? We're going to go out. We're going to get some rejection. People are going to talk about us. Guess what? They talk about Jesus, amen? They talk, but guess what? I don't care. When they reject us, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Jesus. It's not personal. I work at IRS. We levy people's bank accounts and levy their jobs. They call and they cuss us out. I'm not taking it personal. The money didn't go in my pocket, but we, the government, we levy them. I know they mad. They ain't saved. They gonna cuss us out. But I ain't gonna take it personal. So when people reject me for following Jesus, I'm not gonna take it personal. I'm a dead man. Can you hurt a dead man? Praise God. I'm dead. I'm dead to Christ. I'm dead to myself, but I'm alive to Christ. Amen. I'm dead to the world. You can call me anything, but a child of God, guess what? I'm not taking that personal. I'm moving on. If you don't want to receive it, I do like Jesus said, told his disciples, shake the dust off and keep moving. Now, that was kind of like, I'm not going to shake the dust because I'm going to believe that God forgive him. I'm going to do like Stephen. Forgive him because they know not what they do. I'm going to do like Jesus did on the cross. And he prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm not in the Old Testament. I'm not heaping coals of fire on the head. I'm not in the Old Testament. I'm not praying that a fire from heaven come down and kill them. Okay? I'm a son of the Most High God. Amen. So we live in the New Testament, amen? We're sons and daughters of God. We're not waiting for the glory to come down. The glory is inside of us, amen? We're containers of God's glory. We got the power, amen? Are you willing to be made a fool of for the world, according to the world standard? Are you willing to stand up for Jesus? Are you willing to tell people that I love Jesus and I love you? I love you. I have the love of God. It's been shared about my heart. It wants to come out. Will you let me share it with you? That's what God's calling each and every one of us. Now, I went over my time, but I thank you for giving me more time. I thank you for giving me more time. But I'm excited about what God is doing. We're going to do that, amen? Made Whole Ministry. We're going to do that. We're not going to be playing church. We're going to be the church, amen? We're going to be the church. You know what? It's people everywhere. When I got back, I was so excited. My next door neighbor, he was working on his car. He would never ask me to help him. He was working on a car. He said, will you help me? I said, yeah, I was delighted because he never wants me to help him. But he'll help me every time he see me doing something. In fact, a lot of times I had to wait till he go to work before I could work on a car or do something around the yard because he's going to help me. But that's the favor I have with him. Amen. But he asked me to help. So I stopped what I was doing. And I went over and helped him work on the car. Helped him work on the car. And guess what? I was so elated in the glory of God. And I asked him, do you have any pain? Any sickness? Anything hurt you? And he looked at me, no. But you know, it's exciting. It's exciting when you see. Yeah. But I say, Harleen, when she gets home, she was at work, she worked at the post office. If she has any pain, let us know. But you know, it's exciting. It's exciting. I'm not just an ordinary Christian that warms a bench pew, stays in the four walls. I'm going out in the workplace, in the marketplace where they are. In the marketplace where they are, and I am the church. Say, I am the church. God is making me whole physically, spiritually, financially, socially, in every area. And when I'm whole, I'll go out and make other people whole.
What I receive from the Lord, I give to you. Silver and gold have I none. Now God's blessing us financially though, but I'm like, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Praise God. So that's what we're going to give the world, amen. We have the goods, amen. We have what the world is wanting. They're waiting. They want it. They're wanting what we have, amen. What it contains of God's glory, amen. And give God just a handshake of praise for what he's doing in the church. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But church, we're going to be on assignment. We're going to be on assignment. I'm going to call you up. Now I work. I'm off every Friday. So every Friday, I'm going to be out there. And I'm going to call you guys. And if you're available, and it'll be after you get off work if you're working. But we're going to say, look, we're going to meet at Walmart. We're going to meet at Walmart. And then we're going to go out and show the love of God to people. And see, we got to use wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. We're in the store. We don't go out there and stop them from shopping from Walmart. Except because the manager is going to come out and, hey, now look, you messing with my customer. No. You got to use wisdom. We got to be wise. But we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead us. And then he'll show us appropriate way where we'll do it, where we won't interrupt the store operation. They got the cameras in all over the store. They see us coming and messing with their customer. Their profits are being lowered. Oh, yeah. They gonna send us. Oh, we saw you in the video camera. No, you can't come here. No, but what we do when they get through shopping, on the way out or whatever, or coming, or maybe a lot of times they sitting in the bench. A lot of times when people got ailments and stuff, they come and they sit in the bench at a place. They sitting in the bench. They're not shopping. You go there and you say anything that connect you to them. Don't even tell them you're a Christian. And then you say, oh, it looks like you may be in a little bit of pain. But guess what? Hey, would you believe something awesome, man? Would you believe something awesome? If that pain could go away, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, of course they're going to agree with that. When they give you invitation to speak into their life, then you go ahead and do what Jesus told you to do. And Jesus is going to get the glory. God, the Father is going to get the glory. Because they're going to see the demonstration of the power of the gospel, not just word only. And they may not be a believer. They may be a Muslim, maybe a Hindu, maybe a Buddhist, maybe an atheist, maybe. And guess what? Ain't no such thing as atheist. As soon as something happened, they in a car, guess what they're going to crowd it around? Jesus! Well, you don't believe in Jesus. Who you call him? What you call on Jesus? So even in the inside, they know there's a God, amen, even if they say they're atheist. But we got to use wisdom, amen. Got to use wisdom. So I just praise God, but I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do in the church. And we're going to be the church, not the church in the four walls. We're going to be the church where we're going to be known by love and compassion for the church. People that don't look like us can't even reciprocate on what we do. We're just going to love them with the love of God.